Seminar, Agelessness. Lecture number 12. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. Pretty exciting. A three-dimensional image reproduced from a pattern of interference produced by a split coherent laser beam of radiation. Ta-da, ta-da! A hologram is a three-dimensional image reproduced from a pattern of interference produced by a split coherent laser beam of radiation. Now, if you say to me, this is complex, this is ho, 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 this is something that's going to cause me to think, well, that's true, but don't think it's something beyond your capacity to understand. My thoughts are laser beams. Is that understandable?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My ultimate imagination acts upon nothingness to create an illusion. Mm-hmm. All exists. My laser reveals its allness.
One-pointedness.
And that's true, huh? You believe that?
Yeah.
Gertrude, do you believe that?
Yes.
What do you believe?
My thoughts are laser beams.
And Lydia, what do you believe?
What do I believe?
About what we are just reading here, all these phrases.
I can accept it.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
I can accept it.
You can
accept it.
Okay, good. Sylvia?
Yes, it's interesting about the three-dimensional image of a hologram.
You like that?
Yeah. And that's my thought is like a laser beam that I understand too. The more one-pointed, the more instantaneous my thought is manifest as an illusion.
One.
That's it for the beginning.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, that's what I just believe.
All right.
That one-pointedness in thinking is like a laser beam. It's just focusing. But the point is, what do I think? So it's really important that I'm aware and conscious of my thoughts.
That's exactly correct. And what do you think, Dorothea?
Oh, I'm waiting for explanations.
Dorothea, you always have an opinion.
Oh.
And you have an opinion about any one of these four items, or five, and you have an opinion of, just for instance, my thoughts are laser beams.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Now, what does that sort of thing mean to you?
Oh. Well, I think it's centering in on my thoughts.
I'm really not hearing you.
It's centering in on my thoughts.
Centering in on your thoughts, okay.
Just like a laser beam.
Yes, okay. Very good. And, Ingeborg?
Yes, sir.
What's your great opinion about what we have just been talking about?
That is right, because we can call it as whatever we want, the laser beam, a knife, or a thought.
Right.
All has the same action. It brings the same result. Only I define it as with other words, or I think, I imagine it differently.
Okay. We have each given an opinion on these thoughts here, and that's very good. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. A three-dimensional image reproduced from a pattern of interference produced by a split coherent laser beam of radiation. My thoughts are laser beams. My ultimate imagination acts upon nothingness to create an illusion. All exists. My laser reveals its allness. So let's begin at the beginning here. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. Our universe is a holographic universe. It is a universe of illusions. It is a universe of unsubstantiated substance, unsubstantiated essence that you cannot touch, and yet you think you can touch. Now, do you know why you think you can touch the laser activities? Because you are a laser projection. You are a laser hologram in effect. And so a laser hologram, or without the laser, a hologram and another hologram interact. And they interact with perfect ease and simplicity. And can you see how you can merge with one hologram or another? You can merge with one consciousness or another. You can merge with one attitude or another. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. So my thoughts give the holographic universe its purpose, direction, and its expression. Now, during the pause, you spent 1.5 hour discussing yesterday, discussing the past, discussing the future. Essentially, you were forgetting the past, which was bad enough, but essentially, you were talking about, I want to get rid of wrinkles. I want to get rid of wrinkles on my face. I want to use Herbert Marti's wonderful wrinkle cream to get rid of wrinkles on my face. I want to get rid of wrinkles on my face. I want to get rid of wrinkles on my tummy, perhaps, or somewhere else. Who knows where you want to get rid of wrinkles? Now, as you say this, you are putting a cause in motion saying, I have wrinkles. I live in a body full of wrinkles. I have a wrinkle-full body, and this, I don't believe, is really what you wanted to say. You do not want to impact, give power to, a condition that you think you're going to erase with Herbert Marti's beautiful erasers. Now, my holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts.
That's it.
How dare you, one moment to say, I have no past or future. And then 2 seconds later, the minute you open a cup of coffee and tea, you sit down around a table and you reiterate, regurgitate all the garbage of your past and your present and your future. Now, if this is what you're getting out of this program, I guarantee you, you're going to get old very fast. And you're going to stay old. Because you don't deserve to be young. You don't deserve to be dynamic, youthful, beautiful beings, because you cannot even let go of the past 2 seconds after we got done talking about it. You know? My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. We live in a holographic universe, as we will come to the opinion of very shortly as we are talking this hour. We live in a holographic universe, and our thoughts, our imagination of our thoughts, are what give action, direction, purpose, and life to that holographic universe. It's true. We can go down here to the Space Museum in San Diego, and we can see holographic symbols and holographic activities and just have ourselves a ball. And we can see how these things work. We can see how the magic of it works. But right now, suffice it to say, it does work. And I would pray that you pay attention and not just give me mouth talk, lip talk, saying, I will let the past go and I will live in the present, the now. You see, I don't really care, because I know who each of you are, and I know each of you are fabulous beings. I know each one of you are the holographic symbol of perfection and beauty and charm and magic. with face like babies, you know, like the baby's bottom, you know, full of shit too. No, really, that's what you do. Instead of seeing your skin as glorious and beautiful, you throw bananas on it and you throw junk on it, you know what I mean? This is nothing against the techniques that they're there for people who want to play the human route. But you want to play the spiritual route. You want to walk the spiritual path. Well, if you want to walk the spiritual path, don't say you want to walk the spiritual path and 2 seconds later talk the human path and play the human game. It's okay. You do this however you wish, as stupid as it may be, but please, be honorable with yourself. Play the spiritual game if that's what your choice is. Now, on with the program. A three-dimensional image reproduced from a pattern of interference produced by a split coherent laser beam of radiation. This is from the dictionary. Right from the dictionary. Look up holographic activities from the dictionary and you'll find these things. It's a good thing for you to look at. Okay. Now, that is just a bunch of terminology. Now let's get down to the brass tacks. My thoughts are laser beams. Ah, I don't know why I didn't bring that laser beam here from my desk drawer. I have a laser beam in my desk drawer. And you point it, you know, as a pointer in when you're giving lectures and so forth, you can point it at slides and stuff like that. It's just a little tiny little thing smaller than my finger here. And it sends this light out very strongly, a red light to point out things. I must make a note and bring it along later so you can see it too. But my thoughts are laser beams. Now, in keeping with that, what does that mean? What is a laser beam? Lydia, what's a laser beam?
A type of energy. Energy?
Laser beam is a type of energy? Well, I don't mean so much what does it consist of. What's its purpose?
It has a goal.
It is used to do something to something. To point to something or to work on something in your eye or your teeth or something like that, the doctors might use it for, or whatever. But it has a purpose, as you say. It has a goal. Okay? You said?
Goal behind it, yes.
I'm sorry?
Goal behind it, behind using it.
Yeah, there's a goal, a purpose for using it. Okay, now, if the laser beam has a purpose for using it, what is that purpose? Can that purpose be diverse? Can the laser beam be used to clean your teeth? Yes. Can it be used to seal blood vessels that have broken in the back of your eye and make them instantly perfect again so that your eye gives you clear vision again? Can it be used to take off the lens of the eye so that you can adjust the focals of the, not the lens, but the cornea of the eye, and you can blend the lens a little bit to shape it just a little bit to make your vision perfect? Yes. And on, many other areas of medicine and so forth. Can it be used to point to things on a slide or point to things in its purpose? Yes, it can. Now, what if the doctor is working on your eye and he is sealing those broken capillaries back there, and the nurse rushes in the office and says, "Doctor, your son died." Well, now, if the doctor is wise, he will instantly shut off the laser. If he's not wise, he might say, you know, and then seal all sorts of things in the eye, make all sorts of problems. And you say, well, certainly that would never happen. My loves, it happens all the time. One-pointedness, self-diligence, self-dedication, self-discipline, self-determination are so powerful and so necessary in our world, and it is so important for us to keep our mind always clear on that, because we are dealing with laser beams. We are dealing, our thoughts, we say here, my thoughts are laser beams. They are going out to do something. They're going out to create the current now. They're going out to create a cutaway of our past. They laser right through the link that links the past with the present. And pop, the Nova past, it goes sailing off into the sky all by itself. And the only thing that's left is the present. Not bad, huh? Okay. Laser thoughts can do that. And they do that. Laser thoughts can laser us off from the future. Just cut it right off and free you from it. Do you know what an acetylene torch is? This is a cutting torch and a welding torch that's used by welders. And they can use that acetylene torch to cut metal apart. They can use it to separate metal. They can use it to burnish metal. They can use it to polish it, to blend it, to take away the sharp edges. And that's exactly what the laser beam can do in the body. The laser beam used by dentists, by doctors, by whomever, it can do wonderful things in the body. Now, but my thoughts are laser beams. My thoughts can do wonderful things in my body. Now, what do my thoughts work on? And this is a very important thought to think about. What do my thoughts work on? Yes?
On the creative substance.
Please, a little louder so I can hear it.
The thoughts, as the laser beam, goes into a creative substance, which creates then the...
The thought goes into the creative substance and causes it to be something?
Yes, that's what creates the hologram.
Are you saying, which is interesting, are you saying that our thoughts as laser beams sort of mold a concept with our holographic universe, creating our perfect body, our perfect affairs, our perfect mind, our perfect relationships, and all that sort of thing?
Yes.
Sounds good, huh? Well, we are speaking of a holographic universe. And you and I, we each are a hologram. And our hologram can be easily manipulated or maneuvered or changed. And it is changed like the doctor cutting into that little capillary in the eye, which is bleeding and shouldn't, and sealing it and making it whole. Now, the laser beam can be used to cut away attitudes, consciousness, thoughts that are not beneficial to us, or the laser beam can prepare the foundation for beautiful thoughts that we want to have in our mind and in our thinking. And, you know, if you have a garden and there are weeds in that garden and there are critters in that garden who are eating up all of the plants that are coming up, and you take your laser beam and you wash that garden with your laser beam, that little tiny beam that takes a lot of washing. That's right, it does. It takes a lot of washing. It takes a lot of going back and forth and back and forth. I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And as you do that, you're cleansing the soil of your garden. You're cleansing the soil of your mind, of your attitudes. And then you go up and down and up and down. And then you go pretty corner and back. And pretty soon, you have touched every square centimeter of that garden. And in touching every square centimeter, you have purified the soil. You have purified the thing. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Then, as your wholeness and perfection is there, it has a place on which to base itself to continue to be important in your life. Can you conceive that?
Yeah.
And you see, it's a simple thing, but a very powerful thing. It's something that we all want to really be able to react to and on and in. And the laser beam does that because this soil is a hologram. And this soil that our garden grows in, I'm putting several allusions, alliterations together there, but this soil is pure, being purified. Now, the hologram, which is the soil, is being purified. And as it's being purified, then it is made ready for pure thoughts. And no impure thought can remain there because it is like a weed and it would instantly be tossed out. Only the pure thoughts, the pure ideas, which are our laser beam thoughts of who we are and what we are, remain. Now, think about what the universe is. We say, my holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. Our thoughts go into our holographic universe. Now, in the first place, we want to say to ourselves, my holographic universe is perfect. Understand? Mm-hmm. My holographic universe is perfect. The original idea, the original integrity and purity of who I am, that's my holographic universe. My original purity and integrity, that's my holographic universe that exists, that is. Now, I have taken my laser beam and I have swooshed it around in front of my holographic universe and my world, and made me think that there was a cloud there, made me think that my holographic universe, my original purity and integrity, was really not there. And pretty soon the cloud became so intense that I could not see my integrity and my purity any longer. And I thought I did not have it. I thought that I am the illusion of confusion. And truly, I am the illusion of confusion. But you see, like in Sydney, Australia, the laser beam was shot into the sky and the perfect illusions were everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And then this cloud of mist was sent up, and the illusion appeared to be stable on the cloud of mist. And the pictures and the scenes and the movement was on the mist. But it wasn't on the mist. It was behind the mist and in front of the mist and all around the mist. The mist merely made it visible to us. Now sometimes we have thoughts in our mind that we are less than perfect. We have thoughts in our mind that we have genes and chromosomes and hormones and all these things which knock us out of the ballpark, where we're not master of ourselves. And because of that, then we believe that we are imperfect. We believe that our holographic original purity and integrity is not true. It is true, but we believe it's not true. And then we act as though it's not true. That's the time my thoughts are laser beams. We cut through the illusion. We cut through the confusion into our original holographic universe, which is always there, always our original purity and integrity, and we bring it forth. And I say, now that's kind of an academic attitude, a scientific way of approaching these things. Sounds a little bit far out, a little crazy to think about. But no, that's what it is. That's what it really is. Now, I've told you in the past about this book. And this book is about the dimensions of dimensions. It has a one-dimensional being. Ellen, what's a one-dimensional being? point. A point is a one-dimensional being. It has no right, left, up, down, in, out. It's just a point. Okay, now, Dorothea, what dimension does a line have? A line has two dimensions, that end and this end, you know? All right, now, what does a square have, or a triangle, or a square?
Four, three or four.
What?
Three or four.
Three or four, right? Is that what you said? Yeah, okay, it has three or four dimensions. All right, now, what does a cube have? What does a box have? It has more dimensions, doesn't it? Now, what does something that has all sorts of other dimensions? It does. Now, you see, when you are on a two-dimensional universe, you have to be very careful because you're liable to walk into the sharp end of that one line. And when you're in a square, you also have to be careful. If you're walking by it and it's sideways, you don't see it. You only see a line. You don't see the square. And if you're out here, you see the square. And if you're here, you don't. And here, you'd see the square. Now, you see, it gives you totally different dimensions of thinking. And when you have a cube, or you have a pyramid-type shaped object, which is with one, two, three, four sides to it, it's a whole different thing. This is, and then there's another one. There's another one. The circle and the ball. When you have a circle, see, these are all universes. What was the name of that book? It's a very charming book.
Flatland.
Flatland. If you have a chance to get Flatland at your bookstore or at your library, read it, because it gives you some very fascinating concepts into the hologram of what life is all about and what how thinking is all about. Now, when we think on these points, are we a line person? Are we a square person? And that doesn't mean square as not creative. Or are you a box? Or are you a ball? Or are you a cube? You know, what are you? So as you come to the conclusion that you're not any one of them, you're all of them, then you begin to say, which one am I now? Why am I seeing myself as just a line or a dot? Why am I seeing myself as a dot, as an insignificant dot? And dots are really not insignificant. Dots are quite significant. Why am I seeing myself as a line or a box or a square? Why am I seeing myself as these things? I see myself as those things because that's my creative holographic awareness of myself. When I can open my consciousness to a broader scope of who I am, then I see it. My original purity and integrity includes it all. Includes it all. Now, Lydia was asking, okay, once we have attained something of this high level of awareness, then what do we do next? How do we use it? And is it going to be fun? And are we going to be happy in doing it? Well, as I said, that comes a little later. But right at the moment, we're giving you these foundations to think about. And this foundation that we're working on right now is the hologram. And the hologram is something that if you're working on your computer and you're typing in, I guess, Word and or in CorelDRAW or anything like that, but you're typing in Word, and as you're typing in Word, you have your screen set so that it is giving you the standard Word. And then I think this is more in CorelDRAW. Then when you have some pictures there, you have some drawings there, and the drawings are filled in with color, and they're filled in with all sorts of things, and you call it a line, right, Sylvia? You call it a line drawing. so that it just gives you the line drawing, so that it will jump onto the page faster than having to go through all of the machinations of the design and the symbology that a more complex drawing would have. And then there are several others. Then there are the print feature. You look at the print feature, which shows you what it'll look like when it's printed. And what other things does it have, Sylvia?
Well, it could have a wireframe. A wireframe.
The wireframe, which is that line frame, right?
Yeah.
Right. And another one?
It has envelopes where it puts it in a certain form.
Yeah. You had something, Ellen?
Yeah, there was this second one on left side. You know, this strange one. What is it called? And called off. It had.
Well, what we're saying here by all these things, and that's good, if it comes to you, tell us. What we're saying here is there are many ways of looking at things. And there are many ways of looking at things so that we can understand what they are. Now, when, as Sylvia pointed out, the word wireframe, I called it line, but it's wireframe, when you look at the wireframe, you see the back and the front and the inside all at once. Then you are looking at a holographic drawing, except that it's not a mobile holographic drawing. My son Mark designs airplanes and engines, and he has just bought himself, well, he's had it for 10 years now, he has this special software which allows him to do holographic work with his engine, with his airplane. But it's a more sophisticated one than we would ever be using, because in it, it shows the shape of the metal that are being used in the engine and on the wings of his plane and on the struts and other things that he has. And then it shows where it needs more strength and where it has more metal than it needs, and it can have less metal to still give it the same strength that it needs. And so he can now redesign, or rather design, his airplanes to be the most economical, the most sound, because he always has a high tolerance
Security.
Huh?
Security.
Yeah.
Flexibility.
For flexibility and security, so that it can bend and so that it can do whatever it must do and not bust. What's?
Resistance.
Aerodynamics.
Huh? that resistance is closer to the word that I want. But it is the ability to be strong enough under the circumstances that they give it, a tolerance. It has the tolerance of metal that is needed to give it the strength that is needed for flying at the speed that it flies or could fly, or at maybe three times that speed. Because they always go three times or six times or seven times the tolerance, go way up. But still, they make it as light as possible. And so the airplanes are very secure. They're very sound. They're very capable. They can handle it. But he doesn't have to go by trial and error cutting away the metal and adding metal to it and this and that. He can do it right on his computer. And his computer has that system built right into it. So he can play with his holographic images, and he can have all of the metal structures and the tolerances that are all there and know exactly what he wants to do. And he plays with it every day. Mark is, you might say, looking at the original purity and integrity of his ideal, of his idea for a plane or his idea for an engine that he's creating. And these are very, very unusual, very special things. But you see, the day of the holographic work on our bodies, our lives, and our affairs are at hand. They're very much right here. And Mark is using them in his sophisticated yet unsophisticated aircraft factory. He doesn't have a lot of money. He doesn't have big investments in this. He doesn't have the finest, latest equipment. He says the new software that he wants to get costs $20,000 just for the new software for one area that he wants to improve on. Well, that's a lot of money. When you have your larger manufacturing plants, you have your larger budgeted R&R, research and development forms, you can do that. And they do that. But you see, Mark, with his creative genius, can work with something not quite as perfect as the big companies get and come up with something superior to what they come up with, because he has a vested interest, his own desire and care, his own love and his own perception, using what we say, my thoughts are laser beams. And he can do magical things with whatever he works with. He's just an amazing person. Now, that's my son, of course, you know. Yeah. So these are things that are going, yes.
He is like the famous Galileo Galilei, who had very, very simple instruments and have brought up concepts which even now are valid.
I think that Mark would appreciate that, being compared to Galileo. That's quite lovely. And true. But you see, we have a holographic universe that we are in, but we didn't know it. We looked at what is physical and we thought that that's reality. Cassius Clay, what did he say?
I'm the greatest.
What else did he say? What you see is you is.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
What you see is what is. And that's not true. Because what you see is really not. What you see is an illusion. It's just an idea of something wonderful. Just an idea of something beautiful and fantastic. But it isn't anything at all. I love the a Star Trek program, because they were so outrageously creative and imaginative. And what kind of deck did they have? Do you remember?
A holographic deck.
A holodeck, they called it.
The holodeck.
And what was on that holodeck?
Anything.
And what was a dimension of that holodeck that was very frightening? The dimension of the holodeck that was very frightening was that it responded to your emotions. If you put yourself in some jungle scene and you were walking through the jungle and you feared the snakes would come out of everywhere. Because whatever your emotions were strong about, those were the creations of your mind on the holodeck scene. And they were very real, and they would squeeze you and try to kill you and try to destroy you. But they couldn't kill you and couldn't destroy you, although you could be knocked unconscious and wake up later when the scene was over and say, what happened? You know, you didn't hurt or anything. But you see, you succumbed to what you expected to succumb to if a big python were squeezing you, you know. And that they would fight against gladiators. They loved fighting. And they would fight against gladiators. And they would be dressed like the gladiators with their leather skirts and their bars and their sticks and their jabbers and their things like that. And they would fight each other with such a passion, with such diligence. And they would get hurt. And they'd chop off their hand, or they'd do all sorts of silly things. And then, when the event was over, everything is back to normal. You see, it was a game for the moment, but their mind believed it. Their mind thoroughly believed that that was real. On another show in, not Star Trek, but another space show, this woman was the interrogator for her world. And this young man had come into her world with thoughts of destroying them if possible. And he was put into her hands to be greeted and to be tested. So they sat at her desk. And she said to the young man, you're being tested. He said, yes, I know. She said, put your hand in this box. And the box was sitting on the desk, just free floating. There was no connections to it, no wires to it, nothing, just a box. So he stuck his hand in there. And she says, now when you lie to me, your hand will turn red hot. And your hand will feel like it's burning off. And when you're telling me the truth, it'll feel just as comfortable as can be. But when you lie to me, your hand is going to feel like, you know, it's the most hideous fire in the world that's burning up your hand. It's seared, fried. And so he spoke to her, and he lied to her. She said to him, are you coming here to destroy our country? Are you coming here to find out what our weapons are and what our weakness is? Are you coming here to do it? And of course, he lied on all those things because that's what he was there for. You know? And his hand got hot and blistered. You couldn't see it. It was inside this box, you know. But he said, ah! And of course, the way he described it, my hand is blistering, my hand is, you know, it's melting away, it's this and that. And then when he told the truth, it was cool again. And so finally, she said to him, okay, you may take your hand out of the box. And he withdrew his hand from the box, and his hand was perfect. It was all in his mind. It was all a holographic image of what his mind created his hand doing, because he was told if he lied, it would do. Now, what if he was not told that if he lied, it would happen to him? What if he was not told? Do you think it would happen?
No.
No.
Quite likely not. But all she had to do was say, if you lie, your hand will feel like it's burning up. Now, you see, that's right. That's right. If you want to live in your ideal body, you say, I live in my ideal body. You have said so long in so many times in your lifetime that you're sick and you're poor and you got bad genes and chromosomes, and that it's a flu season, and this and that and the other thing. You have named the negative vibrations so long. You have put your laser to work on those negative vibrations to empower them and bring them forth in your life, that naturally you're experiencing them. Now, is that what you want to do?
No.
Of course it's not what you want to do. It's what you do because you empower it that way. Now, my thoughts are laser beams. Do you believe that? Oh, yes, we believe that. My thoughts, my ultimate imagination acts upon nothingness to create an illusion. Acts upon nothingness to create an illusion. The boy, the man who put his hand in the box, it was nothingness. And my ultimate imagination acts upon nothingness to create the illusion. From nothingness. Just from thought alone, he created the illusion of his hand burning up in that box. And he was just beyond himself, beside himself. Now, what about you? Have you created sickness for yourself? Have you created poverty? Have you created relationships that were very unhappy? Have you created everything for yourself? You have set free your mind with its laser beam capacity to holographically create in your world whatever it is you want, whatever it is that you think about. And because you have done that, you have made it so you cannot retract it. You cannot take back a laser form that you have brought into being. The laser form might be illness, might be sadness, might be death, might be... You can't bring it back. Herb, that sounds not very nice. Well, why do I say you can't bring it back? Anyone got the answer?
It was not there in the first place.
Ingeborg? Ingeborg, speak it.
You put a new cause into motion.
That's right. That's right, but I mean, why is it you can't take it back?
Because it is an illusion.
Why is it you can't take it back? Why is it you can't take it back?
Because you create new.
Why is it you can't take it back?
There's nothing to take back.
Why is it, and some of you may be right, so just go on. Why is it you can't take it back, Gertrude? Why can you not take back some bad thought that you created and put into the world for yourself?
It's gone. It is.
If you take it back, you empower it to be there again. Well, you got it. Okay. Why can you not take it back? Because you empower it every time you give it attention. Now, as it is said, you put a different cause in motion. We want to say new by meaning that it's a different cause, but let's call it a different cause rather than new. It is a different cause. Now, what's the different cause you'd put in motion if the other cause was that you were sick as a dog?
I'm whole and perfect.
Oh, that's simple. That's simple. I'm whole and perfect. Can you do that?
Of course.
Do you do that?
Yes.
Why do you do that?
Because it's...
my choice.
Fun.
My choice is my laser beam work. It's my holographic work.
That's right.
Now, if we can get our thoughts so harmoniously directed for our highest and best, as we understand it to be, and we keep those thoughts going, only those thoughts going, only those thoughts going, constantly, 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 only those thoughts going, and give it the laser power of our thought, and like we say here, my thoughts are laser beams, my ultimate imagination acts upon the nothingness to create an illusion. We have such power. All exists. My laser reveals its allness. Do this. Enjoy this. Love this. Know that you are the creator of your world, and your world is but a hologram. And you can create a new, another hologram, just so simple, and the other hologram that was there no longer has a place to be, because you put this different hologram in its place. And it just disappears. It's just like friends. If you no longer pay attention to friends, they disappear and they go away. If you have enemies, and you no longer pay attention to enemies, they disappear and go away. If you have illness, you no longer pay attention to it. It just folds up and disappears and goes away. And if you have love, unconditional love for yourself and everyone in your world, your body shows it, your life shows it, your being shows it, and you show it. And it is wonderful indeed. This is what I would give to you at this hour.
Wow.
More to come. My holographic universe vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. A three-dimensional image reproduced from a pattern of interference produced by a split coherent laser beam of radiation. That's the technical part of it. My thoughts are laser beams. My ultimate imagination acts upon nothingness to create an illusion. All exists. My laser reveals its allness. And that's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it's all about. And that's what you are all about. I would have each one of you enjoy this awareness right now. And please, after the last lecture, you acted as though I had not even spoken. You went off on your yesterday trip and the tomorrow trip and your facial trip. I mean, using cosmetics and stuff, that's great, but you don't use it to make yourself look beautiful. You use it because it's a pleasing thing. You don't take a bath to get rid of your stinky body odors. You take a bath because it's a very pleasing thing.
Yeah.
You don't eat food because you need it to get healthy and stuff. You eat food because it's a pleasant adventure. And so it is here now with our thoughts. We don't need to say positive thoughts because we've been enjoying negative thoughts for a long time and we're quite comfortable with them. But if we start saying positive thoughts about ourselves and laser in on purity and goodness, our original purity and integrity, what a wonderful world we set ourselves up for. So, we will get together on our Number 13, tomorrow morning. My age reflection is brought about by my moment-by-moment thought. Aha! So we shall have a very, very good time.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.